Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 184, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode184. Okay, today, we're going on a little trip. All right, you might want to pack a bag. It's going to be a big trip. We are going to the other side of the world. And with us, we are taking teacher Allison Brown, because she took her production of The Jungle Book to the World Festival of Children's Theater in Japan. That's right, middle school students in Japan. And Allison travels regularly with her middle school students, and I think that this is going to be an awesome conversation where we find out why and how. Well, we know the where, Japan, and we know who, Allison and her middle school students, and what, a production. So let's get into that. Why does she do it? And how does she do it? Great questions. I know. It's like I wrote them. Okay, let's get to it. Okay, hello, everybody. I am here with Allison Brown. Hello, Allison.
Hi.
So first off, can you tell everybody where in the world you are?
Well, I teach in Lexington, Massachusetts. I'm currently in Chelmsford. I live about 20 minutes out of Lexington. I teach in Lexington, Mass. at Clark Middle School.
Awesome. And how long have you been a teacher? She says with a laugh.
I've been teaching at Clark for 23 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
At a middle school. I'm a full-time drama teacher.
Wow. That's like, oh my God. Okay. So we're just going to segue just a little bit. And like, so you have actually been, you've been a full-time middle school teacher for 23 years.
Correct.
How is that? First of all, I think that's pretty awesome that not only was it available 23 years ago, but that it maintains to this day. And how has it changed for you? Like, how is it? Is it still going strong? Have you like gone through administrations that didn't quite you see it eye to eye? But how has it been 23 years later?
Well, it's interesting. I replaced somebody who had been there for many, many years. So they've had a full-time drama teacher in my school. We have two middle schools in Lexington and both have full-time drama teachers. Yes, you're right. I have gone through administrations that have been, we don't see eye to eye. My current administration they are incredibly supportive. We are currently in the middle of a big renovation, and they are building a drama room just for me. And I've been working with the architects and helping to design the space so that it works for my program. So they're very supportive.
That's so exciting. So what kind of spaces have you been working in to date?
Well, it's a band/orchestra/drama room. And it's been hard because drama tends to be messy when we're building shows, for example. And so then I have to move things out of the way so that band can have their practice and, music stands are everywhere and chairs are everywhere. So it does make it challenging from a space, for the space itself. But the new space I will have all to myself. With storage there too.
You must be like, it's like, it's Christmas.
So exciting. I get to pick out the furniture and I keep thinking they've got to realize I teach drama, with all these schools and so many school systems that cut drama. I feel so incredibly fortunate that my school really and my school system really values it.
Okay. So what is the value for you? Like what have you seen in these students as they come to you and as you let them go into high school? What is the value for you of drama in middle school?
It is amazing. They just the self-confidence that they get from my classes. And I teach approximately 300 students per semester. So it's a lot of children that I see. And drama for seventh graders is required. So all students must take my class. And it's not that I'm out to make them actors. And, I say that to parents at our back to school nights. I'm trying to give them skills that they're going to use outside of the classroom. They're going to develop that self-confidence, be able to stand up in front of a crowd or say at a job interview and be able to have that poise that they need when they're presenting.
Rock on. That to me is the thing that in middle school and high school, you know, it's the drama classroom is the place where real world skills are
absolutely
are found, you know, like I always tell the story as I knew a teacher in Florida whose husband worked for NASA and that they were trying to have communication and have workshops with the drama departments because they were coming back and saying, our people don't know how to talk to anybody,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Which becomes a problem. So we're here to have a really interesting, I'm very excited about this conversation for a couple of reasons. One is that you have recently had this amazing experience, but you've had it a couple times, but let's just talk about the most recent experience. What did you do and where did you go?
Well, my students and I were chosen to represent the United States at the World Festival of Children's Theater in Toyama City, Japan. And this is a very prestigious festival. It takes place once every 4 years. And there were 23 countries represented in this theater festival this past summer. I took 55 people with me to Japan.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a lot. And so what happens is you bring your show to Japan. And that in itself has a lot of challenges, as you can imagine, bringing a theatrical production across the world. But then you also get a chance to see shows from different countries and you get a chance to meet people from all over the world who really love what you love. And it's about bridging cultures and bridging the gaps that you might think in your head are there. But the reality is that the people from all these other countries are exactly like you are, that they love what you love. And even though the participants don't all speak the same language, theater becomes that common language. And it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. It's a week that we get a chance to spend with people from all over the world in Japan.
What an amazing experience for middle school students to... Yeah. Like an eye-opening experience,
yes.
To meet other people who do the exactly theater becomes the language. People who do the exact same thing that you do. So some people listening to this, you know, they're first of all, their instinct is, well, I could never do that, or I could never do that with my students. So let's go through the process because it is a, you know, you did it. And so like, so how do we do that? So first of all, when did you know you wanted to apply to try and start the ball rolling?
So there are like a submission time slots for each of these international festivals. And for this one, the deadline was last November. Typically, they're earlier than that. I was surprised that the deadline was so close to the actual trip. As you mentioned, I had done this before. I did this back in 2000 as well. And the deadline for that festival was a little bit sooner. So we had a well over a year to prep for it. So this time, we didn't find out until January that we were heading to Japan in July.
That's not a lot of time.
So that became a challenge when I was taking 55 people with me. Just the logistics of trying to get everyone's passport and trying to get everyone on the same flight. And we toured for a week after as well, because if you're going to Japan, you might as well tour Japan. And so, you know, just scheduling all of those tour stops became very challenging with such a short period of time for us.
Mm-hmm. What show did you take?
Well, that was a challenge for me because I knew that I wanted to take something that had a universal appeal, that if people did not speak English, they would hopefully be able to follow the storyline by what we were doing visually. And so I wanted to do something that had animals. To me, that seemed like something that would be kind of universal. So I went with Jungle Book.
Okay. And then, so one, your choice of play was something that A, it has to be visual. B, thinking about animals. So then C, how did you, were you always staging it with transferring it in mind, or did you do a staging just for home, or like, what were your thoughts in terms of coming up with this show?
That's a great question. We had several performances. So we had our first performance was at our state drama festival. So I had to initially stage for that performance, and then we took it to our own school. And so then I had to stage for that stage, which was it's a much bigger space. Then our third performance we did at Carey Hall, which is a big venue in Lexington. And that was, again, a different space. And during each one of those performances prior to going to Japan, I had different cast members. So there were some cast members who were only able to do the Lexington performances and were not able to transfer to Japan. So I had to switch the show around, and we had to re-rehearse for each one of those different performance opportunities. So that did become a challenge for us because we were losing people, and that was bittersweet for us. We knew we were getting excited about the next performance, but then we were losing cast members that we were sad to leave behind.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, was in terms of the logistics of the kids. Like, when you announced the show, did you announce right away, okay, this is our goal for this show. Our goal is to hopefully go to Japan, and that when you sign up for this show, what are you signing? You're signing up for that possibility. Or were you a little bit, well, it kind of sounds like you're a little bit more flexible that kids could come and go.
Well, I announced it right at the beginning.
Yeah.
I had a parent meeting right at the beginning, and I explained, this is the end performance will be Japan, but we have these other performances before that. And I had planned all along to cast approximately half and half. That was my initial plan. It ended up being more like 75-25, so 75% who were going forward to Japan, and then the others were going to stay back. And that was their own choice. I left it up to the families to make the decision that was right for them, whether or not they wanted to continue to Japan. And some, for a variety of reasons, some had summer plans already, some didn't feel comfortable sending their children to Japan, and I respect that. There were some who, you know, had camp plans or whatever, so they chose not to move forward to Japan. So those students worked on the production up through our Carey performance.
Did you ask parents to kind of make that decision like right off the get-go so that you weren't surprised?
I did. And there was a little bit of pushback for that. Because I just needed to know. I just needed to know what I was working with. And some parents were afraid that I was going to cast based solely on whether or not they could go to Japan. And that was not my intent at all, that I really did want to have, but mostly for the students, a support network of students who were moving forward so that they felt supported by those peers who were also moving forward to Japan. And then I wanted the students who were not moving forward to feel supported that they were not the only ones not forward. So they had a group themselves.
Yeah. So that they didn't feel like they were the lesser than, or they were missing out.
Right.
Yeah. And so it wasn't your intention at all to, you know, like, we're just talking about leads and stuff. Like, did you have leads that were some students who stayed behind, and just sort of, was it a flexible enough show that you could take people in and put people in?
That was tricky. I was really concerned about that at the beginning. I blind cast it.
Really?
I did.
How so?
When the parents, they wrote on their forms whether or not they intended to go forward to Japan. And I did not look at those until after I cast it.
Ha-ha.
So it truly was blind casting. And it happened to work out that those who were, you know, Mowgli and some of those leading roles were ones who were moving forward.
Well, that's one way to do it, so that if parents complain, you know, it can kind of be like, hey, I didn't know.
I didn't know. And that was hard, I have to tell you. That was hard.
Well, of course. But it kind of sounds like, and I would say that if I had to, like, you know, highlight a, so if you're doing, if you're, this is something that you want to do with your the people listening, your own school, it sounds like parent communication would be right up there with that's rule number one. Mm-hmm. And rule number two is that casting flexibility needs to be something is there so that, you know, the people who want to be involved can be involved even if they can't, because there's lots of reasons why they might not be able to travel across the world.
Right.
How did the money work out? Like I know this is the other question I'm sure everyone is thinking about. Like, how much was it per student?
So the way it worked out, we, with the festival that, in this particular Japan festival, they pay for the room and board for 15 students or company members.
Wow.
And so we needed to get ourselves there. And we also traveled afterwards. So that was an additional expense. Now, I had more than 15 in the show. I had 24 in the show. And that was part of that blind casting, because I didn't know how many were moving forward. So I ended up casting more than I would have cast if I had cast it knowing going in. So the money aspect, we did some fundraisers. The Carey Performance, it's an 800-seat theater, they donated the theater to us and all of their services, so that all the money went directly to the students' expense. That was a big help. We did several fundraising performances at our school, so the money that we used from the performances of Jungle Book went directly to the trip. We did a 24-hour play marathon. That money went directly to the trip. We did basket raffles. So, you know, the total trip per student ended up being about $3,500. But then we were able to cut off. So it ended up being about $2,100 per student for 2 weeks in Japan.
Yeah. I was just about to say, like, for 2 weeks in Japan, that's pretty amazing.
And that included everything. That included all their food, all of their transportation. We had buses that took us where we needed to go. We did go the bullet train one day. That was all hotels, all entrance fees, everything.
And I think that if anybody, you know, just goes, oh, you know, that's a lot of money, a lot of money. My students can't afford that money. It also sounds like there was a lot of that. The next thing I think that I would point out is that this is a commitment, and that everybody had to be committed, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. And the parents were part of it, and they helped with that Carey performance in getting the word out and getting posters out and going to preschoolers as preschools and day camps and things like that, just to get that information out, so that we filled the theater on a Saturday afternoon in July. You know, that's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what are some travel tips that you have for traveling with large groups of squirrely middle schoolers? How many adults did you take?
So I had about 32 students total.
Right.
So the rest were adults or siblings.
Right.
And so the adults really were not a part of the moment-to-moment process as much as you probably would think. A lot of them ended up going off and doing their own activities during the day while I was with the students at festival. And I had a group of high schoolers, and I do this with all of my shows. My high schoolers come back, and they are kind of my assistants, and they get community service credits for it. They're very committed. They apply for it. And the high schoolers that were part of the Jungle Book production, and, you know, helping to oversee tech or to help with the acting or we had music. We created music for our show. We wrote music. And so we had people who were part of that process as well. So those high schoolers then became my assistants on the trip. So each one of the students was assigned to a high schooler, and they were their first check-in. And then those high schoolers checked in with me, and they helped me throughout the entire process. So, you know, with a tent, keeping, making sure everyone was and accounted for, at night, doing bed checks, making sure everyone was in their room, that sort of thing. So those high schoolers were a really big part of the process. I had one other teacher with me.
I love that. I love, what a great experience. Again, if you're in high school, just getting to go to Japan, but also, responsibility and just accountability, what a great experience, like real world skills.
Absolutely.
And just being a responsible being responsible. And I really like the idea that the check-in thing was, it wasn't like 55 people checking in with you. It's everyone has a mediator check in and then they come with you. And I think the other thing is, if you're thinking about doing this, do not do this. You can't be alone in terms of running the show,
No. And we had two buses. And so I was on one bus and the other teacher traveling with me was in the other bus. And so, and I had high schoolers with me and high schoolers on the other bus. And so we organized it so that we had those check-ins. And the kids were great. They were really good. I was very clear that you get one warning from me. And if you if I have an issue with you, you go home. I was not going to play games with them in Japan, and I don't have issues with my students, so it was not a problem.
And I wanted to ask too, just in terms of because it's not just the money that the students have to put up; there's the money to get your set or your costumes or whatever to Japan. And how did you handle that? Was it just a costume heavy show? Were there set pieces that actually traveled?
It's tricky. We had, obviously they were all animals. So we're big on costuming in our school. And so one of the things that we were concerned about is getting all of those costumes over there safely. I was so concerned about shipping things and having things get lost because our performance, we arrived on Friday and our performance was Sunday. And so I knew that we needed to have our materials, all our set and costume pieces there right when we got there. So we took them with us. Fortunately, the airline that we traveled allowed two bags per person. So we were able to pack like costumes in suitcases, and I had just people check them as their second bag. Then in terms of set pieces, we brought curtains with us. Again, we were able to pack those. And then we used a scaffolding that the monkeys climbed all over and such. And so they were able to get scaffolding for us there. We brought all of the materials to do the set decorating. And then I had asked them to create a platform rock for the Great Cliff. And so they were able to do that. And again, we were able to set decorate that when we got there.
That's the way to do it. Anything, anything you can put in your suitcase in your hand and then just work with stuff there. That must have been a great relief to not have to transport a rock.
Yes, my big concern, I have to say, when I got to Japan, we were all there. Everyone arrived safely and all our luggage arrived. That was the biggest weight off of my shoulders. I was so concerned about not getting our stuff there.
But it would have been, it's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, no costumes. All right, guys, just start acting. So what was your students when they sort of walk into this experience, not knowing, what was going to happen because you've right. been through this before, but you've got these middle schoolers who have never been to Japan, have never performed in this kind of venue. What was their initial response?
The opening ceremonies was amazing. They had this incredible hundreds of people on the stage, and I think that for my students was the first moment when they realized, wow, this is a life-changing experience. And just the welcome that we got from them. This festival takes place once every 4 years, so it's almost like the Olympics of children's theater, and it's really cool. And you see, the flags from each country, and you see they had a whole auditorium set up where every country had their own booth and you were able to decorate it and showcase your country's culture. And so, you know, we walked through this, we had to do our own booth, but we walked through and getting a chance to see all these countries represented. I think to them, that was amazing. Going to the, they had these kind of get togethers and then getting a chance to meet people. And we all stayed in a hotel. And again, in the lobby, you got a chance to meet the people from Russia or meet the people from Zimbabwe or Uganda and get a chance to really kind of connect with them. And then especially now where you've got Facebook and Instagram and all these social platforms, they're able to continue that relationship with those people that they met in these different countries.
What was the theatrical experience that stood out to you?
Oh, wow. You know, watching my students up on that stage in front of this international audience, you know, it's always so nerve-wracking as a director to watch, but there's this other level of just how proud I was of them. I'm always proud of my students, but it just, because of the venue and just kind of the magnitude of this particular show, it was pretty amazing to watch them up there just taking ownership of their piece and really doing that storytelling to the best of their abilities. It was great.
Oh, yeah. And then from the other shows, was there anything that just went, what was the thing you've never seen before?
It was interesting. We saw some amazing puppetry in some of the shows that was different than anything I've ever seen here, which I really loved. There were some musical pieces. Some of the dance pieces were stunning. So it's just really interesting to see what each country sends as their piece to represent their country or their culture. So I thought that was really just fun to watch the different types of pieces from each country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so, I think travel is the most worthwhile thing that we can do just to learn, just to, if we're going to, you know, not live in our bubble and learn about mm-hmm. other cultures and other people, and to be able to combine that with a theater experience.
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. Okay. So as we wrap up, Allison, what would be some advice that you would give to anybody, any teacher listening who has sort of maybe started getting a little bit of a bug in the back of their ear about being able to take on this adventure?
There are so many opportunities for international theater festivals. It doesn't have to be Japan to start off with. There are festivals all over the world. You know, you could do something. My very first festival that I took students to was Canada. And so, you know, you could take a festival that maybe is a trip that is maybe a little bit more doable for you in terms of your comfort level, you know, in terms of your budget, students' parents' comfort level. So something like that might be a good option first. And then looking at, you know, I'm looking at festivals right now in Germany for next year or, you know, in some different places in Europe that would be not as expensive and not nearly as, you know, far away, certainly as Japan. So there are other options, or even festivals within the United States. There are lots of opportunities for festivals. You know, you could do your state festival. We have a great state festival here in Massachusetts for middle school and for high school. And I know, you know, states all over the country do as well.
Absolutely. I think that's a good point. Like, you know, the reason that going to Japan was not a traumatic experience travel wise is that you have the trust in your students, the communication with your parents. You've do state festivals. Like this wasn't your first rodeo to travel to Japan. And I think that is an excellent point. It's like you can make a 5-year plan and like just sort of, you know, think about if you want to make festivals and traveling a part of your students' experience, build up to it. Start small. There's nothing wrong with that.
Trip to New York.
Yeah.
It's possible. I do that every year with my students too. That's a great experience. And it gives them a chance to see professional theater. You could have people come into your school, professional actors come into your school, either local actors or, you know, there are companies in New York that will send Broadway actors into your schools as well. And that would be a great opportunity so that you build up your program to then take something like a big trip to Japan.
I love that. I love that you're that this is part of your experience as a teacher, and that it doesn't on Mike anyway, it doesn't seem to frazzle you at all, that it's something you love doing and want your students to experience.
I totally want them to experience, and I can't wait till the next one.
Ah, that's awesome. thank you so much for chatting with me today, Allison.
You bet. Thank you so much.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you, Allison. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. It's a play feature. It's a play feature. It's time to feature a play. And today I'm talking about our feature play this month, one of mine, Betweenity. Betweenity, what's the word that's in there? Between. And we've all been there, right? The space in between, the awkward pause, the silence where you can't think of something to say, the space in between words where nothing is said, and yet so much is spoken, the state of being between. So the pause is actually a pretty awesome thing to explore with your students, right? Whether it be just a beat where it's a breath, or whether it be a 3-second pause, a 10-second pause, how about a 30-second pause? What is going on in the character's mind in this pause? Why is the pause happening? It is an excellent, excellent acting challenge, right? Those never-ending silences in conversation, there's just as much acting that can go on in silence as with text. So this is just, it's a vignette play, and it's made up of small scenes on this theme. The girl who tries to tell her best friend that she wants to date him, the guy who wants to confess something but can't open his mouth, the sister who's dealing with the silent treatment, the daughter who doesn't want to talk because talking makes her remember things, the boy who creates the wrong kind of pause. So this is just Betweenity, an excellent class project play, parts for everyone, all levels. It's a great technique exploration. How do you act in the pause? So go to theaterfolk.com to get your copy of Betweenity today. I would like it so much if you did. Or you can click in the show notes. There's a link in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode184. And finally, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can also subscribe to the Drama Teacher Podcast on iTunes. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.